I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger, traveling through this world below. Lord, I swear there's no pain, I know there's no danger in that bright world to which I go.
Welcome to this podcast from Faith Bible Church in Reno, Nevada. Faith Bible Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-teaching ministry dedicated to bringing the good news of the gospel to the whole world. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And now, for this week's message from Pastor Alan Battle.
Today I'm reading Psalm 16, 1 through 11. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply, and their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. My whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life in your presence. There is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is the word of God.
Troy and Dina Skinner's son Tyler was born sick, extremely sick. Tyler's liver didn't work, and his breathing was labored. They didn't expect him to last very long. But the hours turned into days, and even though his liver was not functioning, the doctors tried everything they could, but the blood became more and more contaminated. His bilirubin level, that's a measurement they use for toxicity in the blood, his bilirubin level just kept rising. In fact, it increased to an impossible level. It was the highest ever recorded. And the doctors told them not to expect Tyler to survive. He should have died within weeks, but he didn't. He had to be fed by a syringe because he couldn't swallow. His parents had to feed him every 2 hours. And after feeding, he would have projectile vomit. And they'd have to clean it up, and they'd start it all over again. The doctors told them it would not be likely that he would see his first birthday. And for sure, not his second. But he didn't die. And Dina took him to specialists all over the country. Little by little, his developmental issues were overcome. Eventually, the liver problem went away. But his liver wasn't his only problem. He had something called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And basically what that means is the walls of his heart were as thick as that of a 40-year-old man. So in addition to traveling to see all these specialists, they would take him every couple months to their local cardiologist, a man named Hassan Abdallah. And every time Dina would leave his office, she'd say, "We're praying for a miracle, Dr. Abdallah." Tyler's parents are believers. And throughout this ordeal, they were trusting God. They and their church body prayed together for Tyler constantly. And not only did he make it past his second birthday, before they knew it, he was 13 years old. His whole life up to this point, though, he couldn't eat any solid food. He had to have it pureed. So they began praying. And at 13, he was able to eat solid food. But that heart problem persisted. And when he began having serious breathing difficulties, Dr. Abdallah had no answers. Week after week, they did testing. Dina became an expert on reading EKGs. She'd seen so many of them. Nothing seemed to change. But she kept telling the doctor, "We're praying for a miracle, Dr. Abdallah." And then one day, Dr. Abdallah quit billing them. They later found out it was because Tyler was dying, and he didn't want to add to their burden. Through all this, the Skinners trusted God. They trusted Him in the moment, and they trusted Him for the future. And that's what our psalm is about today. Psalm 16 is the cry of David's heart, proclaiming his trust for God, both now and for later. Psalm 16 is a psalm of trust, or a psalm of assurance. The most famous type of trust psalm is also the most famous psalm there is. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In that psalm, as in other trust psalms, the psalmist is declaring his faith in a God who provides protection and sustenance for his people. The Lord, as the good shepherd in Psalm 23, provides his sheep with flourishing meadows to graze on and clean streams to drink from. And he protects them from predators so that they can lay down and rest without fear. This is the opposite of anxiety. We live in a culture that seems to have more than its share of anxiety. In fact, there's a psychological diagnosis called generalized anxiety disorder, or GAD. It's for those who have extreme anxiety. It's characterized by persistent and excessive worry about a number of different things. People with GAD may anticipate disaster and may be overly concerned about money, health, family, work, and other issues. Individuals with GAD find it difficult to control their worry. They may worry more than seems warranted about actual events, or may expect the worst even when there's no apparent reason for concern. That's from the Anxiety and Depression Association of America. They say that 6.8 million adults suffer from this. But where do they draw the line? How do you define excessive? I know that I worry more than I want to. How about you? I believe that we all long to be in a state like those sheep laying beside the still waters, knowing that everything we need is provided and that no wolf is going to be able to get to us because the shepherd is watching over. Do you want that? Do you want that feeling? Do you want that experience? Is it even possible in this broken world where bad stuff is constantly happening? Well, let's see if this psalm can give us some answers. So in verse 1 it says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take my refuge." So he begins with a plea for protection. That word translated preserve here means to protect, to guard, to watch over. And all those things have to do with being alert, paying attention. You know, if you hire a security guard, you want him watching the monitors and not playing games on his phone, right? So if you're going to make a choice for a protector, God should be at the top of your list. Because he never sleeps and he never slumbers. And then David says that he takes refuge in God. And a refuge is a place where you find shelter. It's some place to go to be safe. And that word means more than just that, though. In the New King James translation, it uses the word trust. And trust is what we're talking about here today. The word is used dozens of times in the Old Testament, and it's really a metaphor for faith. It's not the kind of faith that just gives mental assent to something, though. This is the kind of faith that actually trusts. It's the same kind of faith that the New Testament calls saving faith. We take refuge in God because we're trusting Him with our life. It's a big difference between saying you believe in God and really trusting in Him. You might believe that your basement can withstand a tornado if it comes, but if you don't go inside before it hits, you're not trusting it. David has that kind of saving faith in God. He goes on in verse 2. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. Now, do you notice that first Lord there is capitalized, all capitals? That's because it's the name of God, Yahweh. It literally reads, I say to Yahweh, you are my Lord. David's putting his faith in a specific God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In order to put your faith in someone, you have to know who they are. And God has revealed Himself to us through the prophets of Israel. Those prophets predicted the coming of the Messiah. And I want to show you something here that may come in handy sometime when you're sharing your faith. You probably are familiar with Philippians 2, 10 and 11. But let's read that. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So the context here is about how Jesus became a man, and even though he was God. But did you know that this verse is really just a slightly modified quote from the Old Testament? From Isaiah? Listen to Yahweh speaking through the prophet. It says in verse 21, second part of verse 21, and there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I myself have sworn, from my mouth has gone out in righteousness a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. So is Yahweh the only God or is Jesus? And the answer is yes. And the explanation is found in the Trinity. So the next time a Jehovah's Witness comes to your door, show them these two passages. See what they have to say about that. Jesus is the same Lord that David has put his trust in here. And in doing so, he discovers what's real versus the lies that he's been believing. Before we come to faith, we have all kinds of false ideas. The age-old lie that Satan told Eve in the garden, you will be like God. Look at the last part of verse 2. I have no good apart from you. This works on two levels. First, there's nothing good in us that can commend us to our God. We can't come to Him with our own righteousness. All our righteousness falls short. No matter how much we try, we can't overcome our sin nature. So, our goodness has to be given to us in the great exchange. And that goodness is not fully experienced, though, apart from the new family that God has placed us in. And David recognized that. Look at verse 3. As for the saints in the land, they are excellent ones in whom is all my delight. See, the spiritual life cannot be fully lived in isolation. We need each other to grow and serve and experience the fellowship that God has designed us for. He's made us for this. So David calls the people of God saints and excellent ones. What does that mean? A saint is someone who is holy. Well, we don't look holy on the outside often, but the fact is he's made us holy. And then his people are the excellent ones. I really like that. That word carries with it the idea of people who can do powerful things. And Jesus said that we'll do greater things than he did after he left. Not spectacular things like walking on water or raising people from the dead, but in the sense of our impact in the world is going to be greater. The church is the only hope of mankind. It's God's plan A, and there is no plan B. It's through the church that he touches lives. And when God transforms a life, he transforms a family. And when he transforms families, he transforms communities. And when he transforms communities, he can transform whole nations. So you and I can be instruments to do that. It takes a church, being a church, to accomplish this. It takes us all to working together. I heard Bob Goff speak on Thursday night at the Pathfinders dinner. And he talked about our need to see people for who they're becoming and not for who they are. And I love that. We need to see each other as the excellent ones that God is making us. So on the first level, our goodness comes from God. But on the second level, once we come to him, then all of the good things in life come from him. If we attempt to go after good things that are contrary to his will, we're going to find out they're not really good. If we are attempting to find life in anything other than God, then we're actually chasing idols. Look at verse 4. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The people of David's time thought that they could experience the good life by sacrificing to other gods. They didn't trust Yahweh, so they trusted the alternatives. They sacrificed to Baal in order to get good crops and have children. And then they would turn around and sacrifice some of those children to the god Molech in order to gain his favor. This is not the good life. This is the multiplication of sorrows. There are few pagan worshipers, though, in America today. But people are still just as idolatrous as ever. Paul says that greed is the sin of idolatry. And he tells Timothy this in 1 Timothy 6:9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Does that sound like the multiplication of sorrows? Money is a false god. And if you love it, you're going to make sorrow for yourself. You're going to sacrifice your friends and your family and maybe even your health in order to get something that can never satisfy. And it says in verse 6, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. This is the center of this poem. The lot that he refers to is a stone that they would use to try to determine God's will. He's saying that there's nothing left to chance here. It's the Lord who determines the outcome. God has it covered now, and nothing can happen that doesn't come into God's plan, that God doesn't decide ahead of time. And he knows this because he is a child of the king. Verse 6 says that the lines have fallen to him in pleasant places. What's he talking about there? He's talking about his genealogy. On the human level, he is the rightful king of Israel. He's God's anointed one. But on the spiritual level, he's a child of the king. And he will have a beautiful inheritance as a result of that. And you and I have that very same inheritance. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So this is the later part of our trust in him. We have an inheritance awaiting us. That inheritance is also being guarded by him. That's the very thing that David prayed at the beginning of this psalm. And while we wait, we're not left in the dark. We're not passive spectators. God is with us, and he's directing us through our lives, through this world. Look at verse 7. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Now we're back to the now aspect of trusting God. He instructs us. He gives us counsel. Does that sound familiar? Jesus said he would send the Holy Spirit. He would be our teacher. His name, one of his names is Counselor. And as a result of that, we won't be shaken. We don't have to be full of anxiety. We can rest in that knowledge. And we can not only rest in that and have confidence, but it says we can experience the ultimate happiness possible in this life. The joy that God gives. Look at verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad. And my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. Is your heart glad? Does your whole being rejoice over your relationship with the Lord? If not, how can you get that? Well, you get it by emulating David in this psalm. You first put your entire trust in the Lord. You trust him for your life. Then you acknowledge him as your Lord, which means following his direction, keeping his instructions. And then you delight yourself in his people. And you avoid the idolatrous ways of the world. And then finally, you listen to his counsel and you're led by his Holy Spirit. And when you trust him for your life now, you're guaranteed a life with him later. Look at verse 10. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. Sheol is the grave, and corruption is decaying flesh. Part of our inheritance is an eternal body that will never die. It will never see corruption. And don't mistake this as a reward for living the faithful life here. We can't do anything to earn it. But when we're living that faithful life, then we experience an assurance of that future. We have a confidence in it. This is guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus. You know, Peter recites this passage from Psalm 16, in his first sermon that he preached in the book of Acts in chapter 2. And he points out that David was prophesying the resurrection of Jesus in this passage. And it's through that resurrection that all mankind can be saved. Because he lives forever, we will live forever. And then finally, in verse 11, he kind of sums up the whole thing. He says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So he walks with us through this life now. And we experience his joy now because he's with us. And that joy will be ours later, on into eternity, forevermore. So Troy and Dina Skinner have experienced that joy in their lives. They trusted God throughout the sickness of their son Tyler. They continued to trust him when his heart got increasingly weaker. He had a harder and harder time breathing. And Dina kept telling Dr. Abdallah, though, that they were praying for a miracle. Then one day, the doctor was performing an EKG, and he kept adjusting his controls and double-checking everything, taking a lot longer than he normally did. And Dina was watching the readout, and she thought something was different. And the doctor seemed confused, and he asked her, "Do you see what I see?" And she said, "Well, yeah, it looks to me like Tyler's heart is normal." And he took off his glasses with tears in his eyes. And he asked her a question. He goes, "What God do you pray to?" And she said, "We pray to Jesus." And he said, "Well, Jesus has healed your son." Amazing. The experience of the Skinners isn't something that we see every day. That's why they call them miracles. But you and I can experience that peace and joy that the Skinners did throughout their ordeal. They had no guarantee that their son would be healed, but they trusted him for their now, and they trusted him for their later. And you and I could live with that same trust. We can live with the assurance that no matter what is threatening us now, God has us in his hands. He's our refuge, and in his presence there's fullness of joy. If you've never made him your refuge, you need to do it now, because you may not have a later. There might not be a time later that you can do it. You know, we saw that verse in Philippians that said, "Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Some do that before they die. But those who don't will sadly have to acknowledge it after they die. It's like that old Fram oil filter commercial. I don't know if you remember that. There's a mechanic who's working on a car that wasn't taken care of. And the guy selling the filter says, "You can pay me now." And the mechanic says, "Or you can pay me later." Trust Jesus now, and he'll take care of your later. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you are a refuge. That if we trust you, if we just give ourselves to you, that you will shelter us and protect us, and we can experience that confidence and that joy in you. Lord, help us to encourage one another toward that end. Help us to remind one another that you are there and that you desire our fellowship. So, Father, we give this time to you. We ask that you would use this word in our hearts this week, that you would let it sink deeply into us. And we will give you all the glory for what you accomplish in each of us. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the preaching of God's Word from Faith Bible Church in Reno, Nevada. We hope that it has been an encouragement to you and that the Word of God will fill your hearts and minds as you walk through this world. If you have been blessed by this ministry and would like to make a small donation to help defray the cost of this podcast, just click on the green Support Us button at the top of the webpage. Thank you.